Always Holding a Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, John Curcio, Jazam Maja, Chris Fuchs, John Lloyd, Atif Sheik, Justin Maitner, Gavante Chillis, Molly Ficarella, Thomas Navin, Mike Franz, Joe Mikendo, Trayvon Brady, Dylan D'Antonio, Steve Rogers, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Mindard, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Becca Zeifel, Nicholas Casso, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Fansler, Darren Kirsch, T. Hamill, Jared Gibbs, Braden Arnold, and Erica Flynn. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.
I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Holding a Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined this week by Mr. Matt Truex from Lois and Clark, the new podcast of Superman. What's up, Matt?
Nothing much, Zach. Once again, we're adding another tragedy to Krypton's past here today, I think.
Indeed. Indeed we are. So we're talking about Krypton Season 2. It's a Superman special. We enjoy doing those in between seasons, in between episodes sometimes even, just whenever I want, because I'm in charge of this podcast.
Yep. And loved your Superman 2 the other day, by the way.
Thank you. That was a lot of fun to do. If they ever come out with a longer version of some kind, we'll do it again. there's plenty much to say. There's plenty more to say about Superman 2, obviously. So we just scratched the surface with that one. But so Superman special, Krypton Season 2, the second and final season of Krypton, Matt, as we learned. And, just to say this off the top, sure. I loved the first season. I had zero expectation for this show. It won me over after just a couple episodes. And when there's only 10, that's really important. So last year, I was watching week by week. This season, I watched the first episode when it came out, and then I kind of caught up and binged at the end. So I wasn't on a week-to-week process. So my viewing habits for this season was different than last season. Still really enjoyed the season. But, to jump ahead, and obviously we'll get back there as we wrap up the conversation at the end. But literally, the season finale comes out, has all these cliffhangers, like legit cliffhangers.
Yep.
And then you find out 2 days later, oh, yeah, the show's canceled. I'm like, what is this, Fox?
Was that really? See, I wasn't watching live. Like, the cancellation made me go, like, oh, right, I have to watch Krypton. Was it really two days after the finale?
It was within a week, I can tell you that.
Jesus.
And it's like,
that's Swamp Thing levels of damn.
I know we haven't released any episodes yet, but we're canceled. Oh, we're not canceled. Oh, we're shortening
done.
Episodes. Oh, we're canceled. Oh, God.
Yeah, we're done.
But it's funny, because I've said this on the podcast about Smallville many times. I feel like almost every single season finale could have been a series finale, like with a couple tweaks, or even if it ended there, you'd be like, oh, well, I can logically extrapolate what happened here, Lex and his dad and Clark in the fortress and someone's going to fly and someone's going to die. And the eternal question, right, is always like, did Smallville run too long? And I'm like, no. When situations like this happen, I'm like, no, it didn't. I'm glad I got all 10 years. And they ended it the way they wanted to at the time. We'll put it that way. Right. But at least it was, nothing was left hanging. There was a stamp on the end. They closed the book. Almost here we are with Krypton. We're going to talk about season two here, obviously. But it's hard to, talk about without talking about, oh, there's not any more, because this is set up for more. Even if they ended season one, Matt, and I know I'm talking a lot here off the top and I'll toss to you, but they ended season one and then it got canceled, I would have been like, wow, that was a very interesting alternate universe one-off season take of Superman. And that would have felt more complete, because yes, there were threads out there, but you could say this, there was time travel and Zod and Segel and Brainiac, and like, wow, that's a cool pocket universe over there. Other than Adam Strange was kind of a lift hanging last season, but other than that, everything else was you could have just not seen anymore. I'm like, wow.
Yep.
But you could, not with season two. No, sir. There's way too much out there. So I think they were a little too confident after season one, and here we are. But anyway, Matt, what's your take on all this?
No, I'm right there with you. Like, I mean, we talked last year about season one. Neither of us saw this coming or saw this being good at all. And then it totally got us with all the DC lore. And by the way, like, great characters that we've never heard of for the most part, you know? but I loved everybody. And most of the actors remain pretty strong this whole season, this whole second season too, you know? It's still one of those shows that I look at and it's just like, how did this get made? How was this good? You know, like, what worlds collided that made this happen? So I'm so thankful that we got the show that we ultimately got. But I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I was sitting here last night watching, I think it's Alpha and Omega is the name of
the Omega indeed.
Omega indeed. Just seeing that, I got chills. And then we see what I'm assuming are Thanagarians, but could have been paras, parademons, maybe? But I assume Thanagarians at the end? We'll get to all that, but it was just one of those, like, cut. Now it's gone, you know? Like, it's a total bummer because I really do like that the world that they've created. Despite some other thoughts that I had about the season two. So I would propose to you, Zach, that we cover Krypton season two as the Lobo, the Lame, and the Leftovers, if that sounds good to you.
That sounds good to me, Matt.
Okay, cool.
Let's get into it.
All right, for the Lobo, I mean, straight off the bat, Lobo was awesome.
Are you a fan of Lobo from, like, the 90s? Because he's such a 90s character, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
He's the epitome of, oh, it's the 90s, man.
Yep, he's, like, totally straight out of Image Comics or something like that. I never cared about him in the comics. They did a few funny things with him in like, the DCAU stuff, you know? Or I guess it's really just the one episode where Superman disappears, he shows up. Oh, and then Superman Animated Series, he shows up a bit, too. No, but here I thought he was great. I thought they made him filthy without it, with, like, you know, cable TV level filthy. I loved the Segel's Siegel stuff all the time, and
you
actually like, kind of shining the light
Jerry
on that.
Siegel created Superman.
Beautifully done. I loved it. Like, there's that scene where I think it's just his hand is what ultimately starts regenerating. Like, his arm gets cut off, he kills himself and starts regenerating in another room through his arm there. Like, I just thought it was so damn creative. And I really liked the actor too. And then, like, the talk of him getting a spinoff sounded right to me, to the point where in the final episode I'm like, is Lobo gonna come and show up and save the day here? And he winds up showing up, but really just to, you know, bring Seg off to season three. That'll never happen. But I loved him. What was your take?
Yeah, I've never been the biggest Lobo fan. I mean, just like of the comics, and like it just seemed like when the 90s was trying too hard, like Nightfall Batman, Extreme Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's like now on the show, it was very different, and I think from what we've seen in season one, everything was on, you know, on Krypton for one.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That one really lame Adam Strange episode, which he's in
the
a hallway.
Hallways of Rand.
And it's like, do we not have a budget to show any aliens? Yep. But so Lobo brought a whole different kind of feel to the show, kind of a sense of reverence that wasn't there anywhere else. I mean, Adam was kind of like sometimes comic relief, and I'm wearing a Detroit hat, but Lobo was a whole different shade, and I don't think the show needed it, but I liked it, and like I wasn't like clamoring for a Lobo spinoff per se. Like, I think he worked well as a supporting character here.
You gotta.
It's like all the people that want like a Boba Fett movie or Boba Fett TV show, which we're kind of getting with the Mandalorian. It's like,
we might get this.
It's an interesting side character, but can they lead their own? Like, I know Lobo has had runs in the comics as, you know, as a title character. I don't know how long it was last. They were getting rebooted, things like that.
Right.
So, no, I would have been all about seeing it in season three. Him and Sel, Siegel, Buddy Cop. Like, I guess they would have gone that way.
On their way to Earth.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would have been down for it. And, you know, and going along with Lobo, you know, we meet him on Kulu, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just having outdoor scenes, like they go on location for stuff for this season. Way to expand the scope of the show, and maybe that's maybe that's why they ran out of budget and got canceled. But it really was nice to see something different.
Yeah, no, agreed on that. And even with I'm forgetting the name of the moon base, but like kind of everything they did up there was really interesting to me. I don't think any of it was location. It was all pretty set based. Ragthor?
Is it Wagthor? Wag like Wagthor?
Sure. Is it like a wag? I've been calling it a rag the whole time. Either way.
I think it was a W, but anyway.
Okay. But they kind of like, I mean, they were on the outlands of Krypton in season one a bit too. But I thought for the budget that they had, they made some of that like outside on the moon stuff look pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Like just seeing Seg run around, and by the way, Brainiac out in the forest there in those first couple episodes. Very cool.
Odd to see, right? It's a weird juxtaposition of him in nature. And we'll talk about Brainiac, but just to kind of wrap up Lobo, I guess. Like, it was interesting. Like, I was waiting, like you said, is he going to come back and help? Is he going to show up? Like, because I felt like up until the... Because it's like the very second to last scene of the season he's there. And I thought, they just forget about this character?
Right.
Like, there were a lot of characters I thought they just, like, forgot about. And then they finally do come around to them eventually, which shows they had some forethought. But I'm like, oh, I guess Lobo's just out there for a spinoff that's coming, right? I didn't... By the time we got to the last 5 minutes of the season finale, I didn't expect to see him anymore. So
agreed.
That kind of justifies his presence at all, kind of bringing it back at the end, in my opinion.
Right. But that whole, like, whatever, the last two episodes when they have, like, the final kind of climax on the moon and Doomsday shows up, I was waiting for Lobo to kind of come Han Solo in there and realize, like, oh, hey, Brainiac's still alive and he was on this planet, but, like, now that I'm here, I'm going to help my buddy Seagull, and then we'll go off and go to Earth and go find Brainy, you know?
Right. So to talk about, we'll say Brainy. There's a lot to talk about Brainiac, but let's talk about Zod some. Colin Salmon, right? I didn't realize I knew who he was before Arrow. He's in many of the Pierce Brosnan James Bond movies. He's just one of the guys from MI6, and it's funny
Robinson
to go back and watch that.
Himself, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, oh, way to go, James. Like some guy in like the Mission Control. The good character in Arrow. I thought that, and the reason the first couple seasons of Arrow is so strong is you had a great tapestry of cast members and character motivations, and it's like Oliver's mom married this guy who was friends with his dad, and kind of he has his own thing going on, and an interesting character, well acted, right?
Right.
And then he just kind of, you know, the show outlived him. But to its credit, they didn't kill him off, which is what I expected.
See, I like really don't know much Arrow. I kind of jumped into the verse with Flash, so I don't know where he went.
He's season one, season two Arrow, so that's why you wouldn't know about him. But yeah, he's Oliver Queen's stepdad, and he has a couple guest appearances in season two for continuity's sake, which is nice. But then he's just gone, and I don't know if that's a Colin Salmon thing or what exactly.
Right, but, or we're focusing on different things then.
Yeah, so we moved on from that. But obviously he's cool with comic books because he comes back as a surprise General Zod. Nobody expected General Zod to be in Krypton because we thought this was a prequel.
Yes.
We didn't realize this was a time travel alternate universe story. And the thing about him is he is a main character this year. Like, he showed up, like, seriously, like, 5.5 episodes into the first season.
Yeah, he was a pretty big character. But once he showed up, he was there to stay, I feel like, in season one. To the point where, like, he's teaming up with Brainiac for a bit of the final episode last year.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's great as Zod. I don't think there's... it's hard to say he's my favorite Zod. But there hasn't been a bad Zod. I legitimately love every single Zod. Terrence Stamp, Callum Blue, Michael Shannon.
That's the one for me. Like, I just don't care about Man of Steel, and Shannon didn't really, like, just kind of fell flat for me. I know you like him a lot, but I always thought Callum Blue was great. Mm-hmm. As far as, like, kind of Space Hitler, we're taking over everything Zod. Colin Salmon all the way. Like, he just, and also, like, we spent more time with him. He had a lot to do in this, you know? And even every time he had a big, you know, Space Hitler, General Hux, we're talking to the troops speech, he nailed it. He made some of those stupid lines sound great, you know?
No, he an actor of his caliber makes all the difference in things like this, because he is, I don't know where his, I assume he's a stage actor from, like, the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Oh, he feels so Juilliard, doesn't he? Yeah.
him and Patrick Stewart were hanging out in the 80s or something. I don't know.
Yep.
But I get that feel from him, and he is playing this so straight. He is 110% committed to this material, and it would not work without him doing it that way. And he pulls off all this. You're right, this General Hux speech. This is a great way to put it. Like, he's talking to Krypton. I believe that Krypton will follow this guy because he is so confident in himself. Like, as the actor and the character, right?
Yes.
That you're like, okay, I can see how he can sway a city.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more as far as Colin Sandlin goes. And he plays those big speeches really well, and then he plays the emotion well, too. Or, you know, as much as Zod feels emotion, like when he's talking to Lyta, when he's talking about, you know, why he decided to put his mother under the Black Mercy like that. It felt human enough that you bought it, you know?
Yeah, I think you understand him.
Yes.
But you never root for him.
Yeah, fair.
Which is important, I think, for mm-hmm. these kind of villains. And but no, you're right. The sheer, we're talking about, like, you know, Smallville territory now, or even Lois and Clark, right? Where it's like, you spend so much time with these characters, you know? Like Terry Hatcher is probably my favorite Lois Lane. I've said this.
Absolutely.
Like, oh my God, how could you say Erica Durant? You're a traitor. I'm like, well, hold on. like, Erica Durant was Lois Lane for like 3 seasons on Smallville.
Right, yeah.
So, you
all
know,
the time she's just running around in bikinis and hanging out. And
exactly. Dating the Justice League member of the week, things like that.
Yeah. Mayoral or Senate campaigns, whatever.
You spend so much time with these characters in these roles. I mean, they go to the top. And mm-hmm. You know, with time and perspective, we can properly rank Colin Sandlin as General Zod. I think he's great and a worthy addition to the legacy of General Zod. Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah. Also, just to be that guy for a second, like, I thought some of the production design faltered a little bit this season from last season, but like his like space skirt metal armor braided costume was just so damn cool, and I don't know if it has anything to do with comics because like his history in the comics is so strange, but it seemed like its own thing here. But I felt distinct. It felt like a really good villain costume.
Yeah, I liked the one from the end of last season and the beginning of this one more, like with the cape, like in the scene where he's strangling Lyta, for example.
Right.
That I liked that one more.
Yeah.
But I think the one you're talking about is more like, okay, I'm in charge now. Kind of that's his
yes.
I'm in charge now costume.
Great Commander Zod, yeah.
But yeah, there is no continuity with the Zod symbol, even in the comic books. Like on the comics, he has like a hat. I think he always has like a little like a beret.
Like an actual general's hat?
Yeah, it's like a beret or something. But there's no continuity. There's no continuity. Smallville, it's a big Z, which makes no sense. Like L is not an E, so why would Zod be a Z? You know what I mean? The concept of Superman in the movie was everything was these weird shapes and, you know, this happens to be S, and that's great. Here in Krypton, in this universe, everything is in the pentagram. Or Pentagon, I guess. Pentagram is evil, but everything's in the Pentagon of the, you know, everybody knows the Superman Pentagon, it's just a different symbol inside it. I'm like, all right, whatever, used to that.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you mean too, because like sometimes they're in squares or they're in ovals even, right? You know, like,
yeah,
whatever. But all the same, I really did like his look through the whole season.
Yeah, no, and I like all the costumes. I like the Sagittari. I mean, that's from the first season still, but it's like it's very Tron looking. I like that.
Yes.
The helmet.
And I like how those helmets, you know, open up and whatnot too. Mm-hmm. Speaking of production design, and we only get it, I think, in the first episode, really, but I thought they nailed the Phantom Zone. Like, that's what I always thought the Phantom Zone was. Like, I think, like, you know, like, you don't know where you are. You don't know if you're in space, if you're floating, if you're standing, if you're in a river of time, or if you're just kind of, like, stuck in this one area. I thought the chaos of that and how they filmed it, even with the kind of, like, delayed or, like, shadow effects on him as he's moving. I don't know how to explain it well enough, but I thought it was really effective in showing just, like, how disorienting that Phantom Zone, that dimension or whatever, actually is for people, why they hate it so much.
Yeah, it did seem to live up to his name for a change.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's like,
oh, good point.
Because
I watched the same show, I swear to God.
Smallville, Smallville tried to, and this is what Smallville always did, right? I mean, first of all, they're on a big budget, right? But then they're like, okay, right, here are these other live-action interpretations of what you've seen. Let's just combine them all. You know, right, so they basically combined the Superman movie one, the Supergirl movie one, you know, and like the prism is like just a portal, and then you go down a chute into the desert in a tent or something.
Yeah, so, into the Badlands of the Phantom Zone, basically.
So, I liked the interpretation quite a bit, and I was actually expecting to see more of the Phantom Zone, right? Because it's like, Segel is trapped in them with Brainiac. How are they going to get out? And that's, what is that, like three scenes, and then it's it?
I think so.
And I'm like, I'm done with. So, I mean, to its credit, I was joking that the second season of Krypton would be Seg gets out of the Phantom Zone and has to track down all the Phantoms to get out when he gets out. It's Smallville season six, right? But they didn't do it that way. They did it. He had his, which I still don't really understand where it came from. But the Man of Steel thing,
I forget what they call it, the Sun Disc or something.
Yeah, the Sunstone. They keep calling it
Sunstone.
When was this established that that's what it was called? I don't know, but Adam Strange gave it to him at some point, and then he had it, and that's what helped him get out of the Phantom Zone, and Brainiac figured that out. So, and it did answer my questions of, I think we both were like, how does it work? I thought this was just like a century of Brainiac, or like an extension of Brainiac. I didn't know, like, this was the Brainiac.
No, apparently that's him, yeah.
Apparently it was. And so I'm like, okay, that makes sense then why the ship goes away and is, you know, it doesn't work anymore. Because
he's kind of dead for a bit.
Yeah, because he's gone in there. So I'm like, okay, that made sense. And then, I mean, we can talk about Brainiac now, I think.
You knew the actor last time. I didn't, but I thought he crushed it every scene. And I don't know if it's his choices when his voice gets a little modulated and darker. Because, like, sometimes it's just in the middle of a sentence or in the middle of a word or something. Mm-hmm. But it's so threatening and so alien that and, like, all of his mannerisms keep that kind of stilted. Right. And it might be partly, like, how he has to move in the suit, you know? but just, like, evil 3PO kind of look to
evil
him,
3PO, yeah. And I love the way he talks, too. Like, every pronunciation.
Yes.
It's just...
And sometimes those pronunciations were a little dark for a second. And, you know, like, it's so strange.
And that was their whole slogan, right? Bad day to be a hero. On Krypton Season 2. They had
There's a billboard down the street from me. I see it every morning. It breaks my heart now.
I saw that billboard now because I've been in California a couple of times this year. And I was like, it's Krypton!
I was so proud of them.
What a world we live in. We see a billboard with Lobo, Brainiac, General Zod,
and Superman's grandfather.
What a time to be alive.
With a terrible beard, but whatever.
Brainiac, right? So, in the first episode, when they like cut to commercial, I'm like, all right, there's something to this, right? Yeah. I mean, like, that was a red flag. Like, Adam just shows up and Brainiac's dead. I'm like,
then we see the body and like crushed body. It's like,
cracked in half.
Well, that's definitely pretty dead, you know?
So what they did was they did, and I always think of heroes with everything, you know? A couple things about heroes, then I'm sure I said this at some point talking about Krypton. If it didn't, shame on me. But, like, the opening slate of Krypton, that is the opening slate of heroes. You see the sun and then, like, an eclipse behind Krypton.
Oh, really?
And you hear, like, like, just go look at the open, like, heroes, like, the title card for heroes. They just put Krypton on top of it.
They just did the blood and the S and call it a day, yeah.
But in the fourth season of here, and I'm sure this is in fiction a lot. Actually, this was in Jessica Jones, as I understand it. I haven't seen the second season of Jessica Jones, but apparently Doctor Who gets inside her head like this. David Tennant's Doctor Who.
Yeah.
The Purple Man. Okay, I know something.
The Purple Man. Kilgrave.
In season four of Heroes, Sylar gets inside Matt Parkman's brain. He's the telepathic cop. Like, his consciousness is in there. And it's very similar to this one because you got a good guy, but the bad guy's in there and he's talking to him and he's like, you know, people are like, what do you like? He's talking to himself, but he's not. And it's a trope in things. And I thought that was an interesting way to do it because, like, you want to keep Brainiac around, but how can you really have him around when he's this cosmic threat?
Right.
And you have these other things going on. So I thought that was a pretty clever way. And obviously, that helped Segel get from point A to point B along. They would never survive Lobo or a lot of their escaping Brainiac helps him with a lot.
Yeah, that crashing skimmer or whatever.
Yeah, that was really cool. Like,
I love that move.
Have control. this is the iconic Brainiac. This will never be topped in live action because live action Superman movies, first of all, they don't happen anymore.
Right.
and second of all, when they do,
give it five more years. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, But they're never going to show Brainiac for some reason. So right, I guess right. this guy will remain, this interpretation will remain the definitive live-action Brainiac. I mean, I love James Marsters as much as the next guy as the T-1000, but let's be real.
Spike 1000. This guy, but also like what you're saying, I get that it's a heroes thing. Like, this is exactly what he did with Lex in the DCAU in Justice League Unlimited. Like, when there's a whole season where Lex is kind of talking to himself and going off of what Brainiac is telling him. He's trying to like kind of get back to Brainiac and bring him back and kind of feel whole again after they had merged and been like one super Lex brainy whatever thing at the end of a season. So I kind of liked the, again, it's jumping, it's grabbing DC lore and continuity and changing it up enough in ways that we geeks have never seen it before. It's so exciting.
Well, and this all works for us, I think. I mean, because we're very well versed in Superman comic books and other yes. things like
oh my God,
interpretations,
dude,
right?
I think General Zod said Sector 2814. When that happened, like in my head, I'm like, that's our sector. Oh my God. Yes. You know?
So, like, as people who know all this stuff and can identify these things, like, I don't feel pandered to and I don't feel like taken advantage of. Like, I feel just like my fandom is, I'm being rewarded for knowing
yes,
all this stuff.
I
right?
feel serviced. I yeah. feel fan serviced and I appreciate the job. Yes.
Yes. So, but the reason it doesn't bother, I think, us, for example, I don't want to speak for you, but. Like this, they've established this is like an alternate universe, it's an alternate timeline, so they can do whatever sure. they want with Doomsday
yep.
or Zod,
yep.
or Brainiac.
Did
or
we
anything.
See the cape once this season?
See, okay, now that's something I wanted to bring up, and I guess we can. we're still on the positive front, so let's
yeah. Sorry,
let's
that is in my
that.
Leftovers section.
Yeah, because that, I want to know if they knew what season two was going to be when they did season one, because this feels like a very the characters are all very consistent. The characters yes. themselves, the journeys the characters go on as people, that mm-hmm. all works, right? All checks out. But as far as a story goes, this has nothing to do with the first season. This
totally
has nothing to do with Save Superman, right?
They also lost one of their main villains, which I would like to talk about at some point, too. But where the hell did Darren Vex... Like, what was that about with Darren Vex?
Yeah, that was shocking to me because I thought, oh, yes. he survived. Oh, cool. And oh, he's dead.
Wow. He just flew in for like an hour and did that. That was so lame to me. Anyway, good things. Doomsday. We knew from season one that it looked great. You know, like just seeing it in the coffin and obviously he broke out there. Seeing the animation they did on this character and just like the CGI model of it. I was blown away that they could get away with that. And I'm sure that like they chose their shots or whatever and were smart about it. But as a viewer who was kind of watching for like production things, like on the moon, it sometimes kind of looks a little cheap. Mm-hmm. I thought he looked awesome. And then that backstory season or episode they did with the elves, the ancient elves and the ancient Zod there. Like torturing the guy and his wife and all that. I thought that was beautiful. I didn't know. I've never known anything of Doomsday's backstory, so I don't know if that's, you know, continuity or not, but I thought it was really well done.
He has been tied to Krypton.
Right.
In the comics and, of course, on Smallville and, of course, in Batman v Superman. And, but I felt like, I think that one was called Zods and Monsters, which, first of all, let's just say this now, like, the titles or the individual episodes are meaningless. Like this
right.
this is a blur of a season because it all bleeds together. And that's
except
fine.
For and one I'm glad I didn't know the title of because it would have given away the twist of it for me. But yeah,
there's only one Zod in that episode because at that point there are no other Zods.
Right,
so that's Lyta's
choice. Dead.
Okay, we're gonna talk about that.
Well,
but so. Yeah, there's another episode called In Zod We Trust. You know, like all these, like, did they just like, look, guys, it's like a Michael Giacchino like album. I don't know if you know his soundtracks at all, but it's just nonsense and puns. Like he did Star Trek. He's, you know,
yeah.
like, it's like just nonsense and puns. And I felt like that's what all the titles were this season. They're like, I don't know. Just say Zod in there.
We don't care. Even the final episode, Alpha and the Omega. What the hell was the Alpha of that? You know, like I know what the Omega was, but.
Right.
Oh, literally, it was an Easter egg, you know?
Yeah, although Mercy was a perfect title.
Mercy was great. But again, that, like, I'm so glad that I was kind of just like, I watched it on iTunes, so it just kind of played after it. I'm glad I didn't read what the title of that episode was, because when that started, I didn't know what was going on, you know?
I was confused by that, beginning of that episode.
I think I thought it was a flashback.
Yeah, it was a flashback. And, oh, wait, no, but he's there. And, oh, Black Mercy. But wait, she's dead. How is this? Is his fantasy? Oh, shit. Anyway, I guess that's more in the middle section. But to get back to Doomsday, as we'll jump around. Doomsday, I felt like that should have been the best episode. Because whenever you look at these story arc TV shows, like The Heroes, you know, like Star Trek Discovery, right? Or you throw that one out there. It's temporary. But it's the ones that, like, stand alone and have, like, a character study. Those are always the ones people remember. Like, from Heroes, you have the company man, the one about the horn-rimmed glasses, right? Like, oh, that's the best one, you know? Or, you know, those are the ones that stick out and they, like, tell a story beginning, middle, end, and it has some structure to it.
Totally true with X-Files, you're right.
X-Files the same way.
Yep.
At the time, we're like, give us more aliens and mythology. And now we're like, whatever. I'm going to skip those. That didn't amount to anything. Yeah. Show me the standalone episodes. So.
Cry checks in this? Never mind. You know.
So, with Doomsday, I felt like they should have built the episode more around him and just had him and his, like, you know, the story of Doomsday. You know, like a Doomsday
like
all secret
in the ancient
origins.
Krypton land,
yeah, and there's bookends of, like, Zod and his assistant, like, you know, looking in his mind, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why we get that. And then just stay in the past and then come back here. And I felt like, I know there's only 10 episodes, right? But they do a lot of the same things over and over again, even in these like, how many times are we going to be captured and have a shootout and blah, 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 and we go back to that base in the snow, and then
and
we come
Zod's
back.
Forces are coming, and base in the snow.
Must I perform every task? Like, it's so true. Because he's like, they escaped again. So they could have just cut out some of that back and forth and then had a straight-up Doomsday origin. Tragic, yes. Like, the whole thing with the wife and holding the fingers up to the glass.
Yeah, the ET.
Heartbreaking. Yeah,
awesome.
Heartbreaking. But they could have gotten more from that, is what I think. So I feel like it was good, but I felt like, to me, like on paper, you tell me there's an episode about Doomsday's origin and there's flashbacks and he had a wife and all this stuff, I'm like, that's going to be the best episode of the season. But it was good, but I felt like that should have been the best. That's my take there.
You wanted it not quite in, like, BC story level. You wanted that to be
the
main. Yeah, fair enough. Well, I mean, that would have been fun to see ancient Krypton, too, you know?
I liked Human Doomsday, I guess, if you will. Like, his costume seemed like kind of a golden age Jor-El looking 50s retro sci-fi costume, like the Jetsons or something.
Shy of, like, the shoulder plates and the sun on logo.
Yeah,
you know?
So it looked Kryptonian, but it did look from a different era. So, and they kept us in that one room so they didn't have to see anything else. So that was smart. Terrible to see the torture. And notice, right, the L. She was the one, like, pushing it, and the Zod was like, I don't know. Like, so they flipped that. You assume the Zod's going to be like, we all get stronger. Right. And they flip
that. But the L's like, I hope this works. Yeah.
Yeah. And also the eyeshadow and all the Kryptonians, or the eyelashes, you notice that? Very alien.
Yes. Yeah, so. I liked that. But, like, I liked that as just, like, this is kind of what beauty is on this world, you know? Like, they're trying, man. Yeah. They started that so well in season two, and they didn't have as much time to world build like that this season. But I thought, you know, those little ways that they continued it were fun for me. Yeah.
But no, Doomsday, this is the best Doomsday. There's no
argument. Hands down. I mean, oh my god, him killing, spoilers, Kim at the end of that episode, I thought was fantastic. And just, like, that whole threat of him in the tunnels the whole time was great.
I thought they were going to kill Val. I was really, like... That's the thing about the show. Like, I'll give it credit here. Like, you don't know what to expect. You think they could kill anyone at any time. So I was... In most shows, they'd be like, yeah, he's going to go off, and someone's going to save him. Blah, 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 blah. But when, like, him and Val says, like, you guys go ahead. I'm going to stay. And they hug.
That was
the
moment.
I'll see you soon. I'm like, oh, this is it. He's so dead.
Someone
he's
doesn't so want to be in Belfast anymore. You know?
So when he left and I was like, oh, good, he's not going to die, because I really liked that relationship. You know,
me too.
Grandfathers and sons, right? And then especially his grandfather's younger because he was in the Phantom Zone. That helps, because he's pretty much like his father figure here, right? And, you know, I had a great relationship with my grandfather. So, like, I like that, seeing that dynamic, and, like, hear somebody say grandpa right on the show. I'm like, oh, that's great to see that relationship. So I
totally
love it.
Totally. Yeah, you pointed that out last year, and I felt stupid that I didn't see it, but you're right, because most of the Superman stuff is always the father becomes the son and the son
becomes the father.
But yeah, no, you're totally right.
But no, Kim, right? His comic relief friend from the first season.
Who is now, like, a soldier and a commander in Jaxor's army. And we had to talk about Jaxor.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, but my God.
I like the character evolution. I buy it. Right?
Me
because
too.
They all got conscripted, and he became what he needed to be to survive, and he was effective at it, you know. And what an arc! You really felt bad for the guy, and you know, when he turns on the force field and runs away from Seg, beautiful. I'm like, man,
you can't save everybody
in the fields. The Superman lesson: you can't save everybody.
Yeah, but also, and I'm sure that this might have been in someone's mind as they're doing that. Like, he died from a suicide bomb. So did Ona in season one. So did that little girl that he was so, you know, connected to. So I kind of liked, I don't know what that says exactly, but like obviously one of them used that for good and one of them did not, you know. Yeah. Like he obviously did the sacrifice play there. But I was thinking about that the whole time.
Good call, Matt.
Yeah. I was thinking about that the whole time he had that bomb. Those 2 seconds while he had, you know, Doomsday's fist in his gut. Okay, so now we get to the game of when did Matt cry, which is a new game here at Krypton. I did not see it coming at all, but I bet you could guess when they named the kid. I'm sitting there and she starts talking and I'm seeing it from a mile away and I get chills. I'm like, oh my God, he is. Oh my God, they're going to do it. And then they name him Jor-El and like, swear to God, I was just like, it's Jor-El. I just melted in my seat, and obviously I loved the how manipulative that was with our fan emotions there, that instantly he is then kidnapped by Brainiac.
Yeah.
and never to be seen again, basically, you know. But I loved that moment, and I am such a Seg and Nissa shipper, it's not even funny.
Oh, 100%.
Oh my god.
And that ties into other things we'll talk about for the season, right? But they play the Superman theme there, appropriate.
Yes.
Yep, they did not just willy-nilly play it whenever. They played the Superman theme when they named him Jor-El.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. And he says, my son. Like, it was very Marlon Brando-esque.
Very.
You know?
The kid's hair might as well have gone white at that point. Yeah.
Exactly. And it was a great moment because they're in the Fortress of Solitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that was a statue of a Jor-El, a past Jor-El, which is in the quote-unquote real fortress in the future.
Forgot
Superman,
about that?
Superman has a statue of his Jor-El and his
right.
mom and dad there.
And his Laura.
So, why does his grandpa have a Fortress of Solitude again?
We don't remember.
Because
he was practicing science, but science was bad at that point, right?
That's right.
Just religion was... Yeah, because the voice of Rao had taken over. These seasons are so different from each other.
Nothing to do with one another, no. not necessarily a bad thing, but just
no,
nothing
but, like,
to
this
do
one's
with
all about
another.
Resistance and moon bases and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I didn't know you guys even had a moon before.
Yeah, right. Let alone an elevator. Very nice.
Yeah. This is ring world stuff going on
this
here.
This is beautiful.
Talk about the moon, Jack Sir. Right?
Yes.
So they gender swap Jaxer, fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
They gave her the eye. Because I'm like, okay, she's going to get that eye at some point, right? In the first season, she has both her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has the eye.
They gave it to her very quickly off screen.
Yeah.
You know, between seasons.
And then apparently Lyta gave it to her. And then she uses the kinetic energy of the eye to blast people away with like a laser beam, like heat vision. I didn't
Why
see
not?
That coming. I don't think Jaxer has ever used that. In the comics.
I couldn't remember from... but in the animated series, he wouldn't really need to because he was on Earth. So.
Right, because he had powers. Yeah.
What have. Yeah, good what point.
Have. Yeah. So, Jackson. Yeah, great character there. I was wondering, did she get off the moon? Because they were like, you go away, Jackson. Come back when this resistance is over. And she
That was so strange.
Goes into the West or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. No, I expected her to show up at the end when they're evacuating the moon, right?
Again, if she came in and did the Han Solo at the end, that would have been fun too. You
right.
know?
Now, Jack Sir, what is that character famous for? Blowing up Krypton's moon, right?
Right.
And her and Val-El are kind of like...
I forgot about that.
Right? Yeah. And then her and Val-El are partners in this. And Val-El's plan... ends up blowing up the moon, and it's because earlier she's like, I want to keep blood off your hands, but you have to take responsibility now. And he kind of takes over her mantle. And so that worked very well for me, like to kind of a nod to the comics where Jaxer is the one who blows up Krypton's moon. So that was great. And I thought, oh wow, that's Doomsday is now going to be floating around in some rock, and then he'll just float on Earth and follow. Follow Kal-El's spaceship and like the way everything does, the Phantom Zone, the Kryptonite,
it all
just follows in that wake of that spaceship.
Whatever, yeah.
He'll crash in somewhere and then Cadmus will uncover him and put him in that green suit and then we'll get the Death of Superman. Right? That's not what happened at all. He crashes on Krypton at the end. I'm like, oh, there's Doomsday. They're going to do maybe one good thing about it not having a season three, they don't have to do the same thing with Doomsday again. Like, this season was great.
Yeah, what's he going to do? He's going to come out, he's going to rage, and that's going to be the end of it,
Speaking of Death of Superman, I was thinking this, too, when they have the two skims, or what are they called? Skims?
Skimmers, I think?
Yeah, skimmers, yeah. They're in the Arctic, and they're flying around, they're looking for Doomsday. And I'm like, oh, I know what's going to happen here. Because he jumps on one of the skims and he rips it apart. That is straight out of the Death of Superman. That happens to like a fighter jet. And it was like, oh, see, these guys know what they're doing. Like, and they're nodding to the comics, but it's not a ripoff. So anyway, I love all that.
Yes.
But it's like, now what's going to happen? In theory, in the future, if the show didn't get canceled and whatever. I know it's not their problem, but it's like, so he's in the ice. And then they're going to come out, and then they're going to subdue him again, and then he's going to float to Earth.
Yeah, like exactly.
That was a great way to get him off the planet, you know? Yep. And then he's, you know, anyway, that was an odd, like, but you had it so well, and you changed it. Why did you undo what you did?
The only lame thing with Doomsday for me was, like, the big gun that Zod has to tame him, and I understand it's because we had to tame him and then make him kind of a soldier of Zod there, but it just felt like they've been building up this threat of Doomsday the whole time, and then like Zod just walked up to him with a gun and that was kind of it. I tamed the beast of the Outlands, you know.
No, I like that Zod is like a big game hunter there, right?
And he had to
stare the lion in the eyes, and he kept shooting, it wasn't working, he had to turn on full power for a second, like, but no, Zod has some balls on him. You know?
Yes, totally.
Just to stare down Doomsday and tell him to kneel before him. I was like, wow, we got Doomsday kneeling before General Zod on this show. Like, what a time to be alive, right?
And it looked good.
But you're right. I get what you're saying about Zod just having a bazooka shooting him a couple times.
It was just like after all of that for the
Destroyer
whole season
of Worlds.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. It was fine. But there are, like, that is kind of just my biggest complaint of the season. And it's not just, like, one particular thing. Like, they rush story points from time to time, which makes me think they didn't have season two planned out from the beginning, you know? Like, even in that first episode, like, kind of the where are they now of it, it's just like, she lost an eye, and now this is a friend, and blah, 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 you know? Like, it was just like, oh, we're going full guns. Like, we missed a lot of your lives, and now there's, you know, all this resistance and all this stuff.
And there's a moon!
Yeah, and there's a few other pieces of that, even kind of like Jaxar walking off into the sunset, never to be seen again, also kind of felt like, really? Like, I thought we might have a trial for her or something, you know, like, or put her in the POW
the
camp
Zone.
At least for a little bit. Phantom Zoner, sure, you know? Yeah. But these are small gripes, and I don't wish to keep griping about it, but there were a few times where I got hit like that.
One last thing I thought of.
Sure.
Cameron Welsh, who was a writer and director. I checked notes. I looked this up. He directed Blood Moon. That's a cool title. I was giving the titles a bad bad name before, but he directed that episode.
Is that episode 9?
Sequence where Nyssa is leading the charge.
Yep.
I'm like, that is such a that is a very well done action sequence.
The straight out of 300, but like beautifully done.
So good. So there's so many little directorial flourishes there, you know?
I really hope we see that actress that played Nyssa again in something else.
Yeah. Soon, Wallace Day, you know? Is her name. Yeah,
Wallace Day.
I follow her on Twitter. So, yeah, she's great.
I mean, obviously she's beautiful, but, like, she's got chops. She was selling that action stuff of beating up the guys and shooting everybody. And you can tell those are just prop guns because they all have to, like, kind of fake recoil as they shoot.
You don't know how laser blasts work,
Matt.
She was
awesome.
You don't know.
Excuse me. You're right. I haven't been on a moon in a very long time. You're right. But yeah, no, I'm glad we talked about that for a second. I thought that scene was awesome.
And to your point there, she does have the most interesting character to play.
Yes.
You know? Is she good? She has that kind of like Lionel Luther, you know, thread to her. Because her father was like that in the first season.
Right. Lionel at Thanksgiving. Like, oh, we're trusting... Okay, I guess you're here.
She tried to blow me up last year?
Sure. Welcome.
Everyone's welcome at the Kins Thanksgiving, man.
So glad we're in a safe place where we can talk about that.
So that whole sequence, and then also when Kim is going through the tunnels to look for Doomsday and set off the alarm, like there's like POV, it looks like Doom,
that was
POV
really
shot with a gun
for like two shots or something.
It was odd, but I liked it.
Yeah, I did too.
And overall, I liked every single character.
Yes, me too.
Like that, I mean,
Adam.
Adam was okay this year. I thought if I hadn't, if there doses. Was, what is your least favorite episode of Krypton? I would say the Adam Strange one from last season.
Yes.
And that's the worst one of both two seasons. I mean, it was just like, why do I care? Like, he has been the consistent weaker link mm-hmm. the whole show. I wish he was like, honestly, I wish he was Booster Gold. Cause I'm like, cool, Booster Gold.
Exactly.
And it makes more sense for him to travel through time.
Right.
Like they still, and that's a week. And there's a lot of ambiguity because there's like, oh, it's a mystery. We don't know it. We don't know how Adam Strange, we still don't know how he even came across this information, came back in time. I don't know how a Zeta Beam even works.
Oh, do we not? Wow, that's how little I care.
Well, like sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, because okay. if it always worked, then there'd be no drama, I guess, right? So, oh, right. Things not working.
Until you tell Nyssa exactly how it works.
Yeah, but see, Nyssa, I love Nyssa. I love her character.
Me too, man.
We'll just say this, and we can transition to the stuff we don't like, right? Seg was great. Cameron Cuff,
is that it?
Cafe, I don't know, but excellent Crow, job. Whatever. Like he is a Superman fan. Like he is big
he's
presence
such
on social
a nerd
media.
For it. I'm so bummed for him that he's canceled. You
yeah,
know?
Oh man, it's but he got to like even he got to say like, General, would you care to step outside?
Oh my god,
he said the thing.
Awesome.
Has the S on his chest. He got to be Superman. He really did. Yep. And I mean, he looks like Superman. It'd be great. Get him.
He would
in the,
play a great Superman.
Get
totally.
Him in the crisis. Get him in there.
Yeah, why not?
But he was great. As your main character, you got to care about that guy. I think he does great. He was great. Other characters, Nyssa. I'm Team Nyssa. Nyssa. Sounds like you are
me
as well.
Me too. I like the actress that plays Lyta quite a lot.
Yes.
And like what they did with her character. But absolutely, I came up with Segza, and Sex. I think that should be their ship name. And I'm a big fan.
Like, what a concept. We're like, okay, which one of these is going to be Superman's grandma? Like, that's grandma. That's what we're waiting to see on this show. But, it, you know, it turned out to be Nyssa. I thought it was going to be... I thought Corvex was eventually going to be Jor-El. Eventually.
I mean, that makes sense to me. And now, looking back, too, at how precious she was about that.
His little... That. Remember the last scene? His little capsule? She's carrying
exactly,
it around?
Yeah.
So cute.
And like, just like... that whole thing of like, yeah, there's clones and all that here, but like, no, that's my child. Mm-hmm. I'm taking him.
Yeah. So that was, I mean, I love them. I love how they connected more. I didn't like how they unconnected, but we'll talk about that in the next section, I guess.
Seg is wishy-washy, man.
Come on, man. Like, I was ever, like, what was it? I think it was
come
the
correct,
second.
Dude.
It was come correct. It was define the relationship, DTR. It was the second to last episode in the first season where, like, she kissed him for the first time when she saved him from Brainiac.
Right,
like, okay,
right.
Now we're Team Nyssa. All right, all the
Game
way.
On.
Right?
Yeah.
And it seemed that season was going to go in that trajectory, and then some things changed. But, yeah, all the Lyta, we'll talk about her, like the actress, like a lot of things with the character, like mm-hmm. as a character, story decisions questionable, right? We'll get that next. Right. Jaina was great.
Jaina, I like her with Dev M, too.
What was that? No, I mean,
oh,
like,
I was waiting for that the whole season.
Right? No, I was too. I'm like, they're getting kind of close, but he was engaged to her daughter.
They like in the most platonic way slept together at one point.
Yes, they're like crying and they hug each other and basically, yeah. Oh, they're gonna keep this like a soldier platonic respect thing because she used to be
yeah like a
commanding
Mal and
officer
Zoe or whatever. Right?
Yeah. But then I'm like, no, they went there with the kiss at the end, and I'm like, oh, all right, well, this is. Truly the Game of Thrones of Superman, right? This show living up to its side. But that was Dev M, interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not just the obstacle boyfriend character that he was.
No,
all these
made
shows
him
have
cool
one.
Again.
He's got the metal arm. They used that. I
yeah,
liked.
He wasn't a Whitney Fordman.
He wasn't. He wasn't. And then I liked how he kind of brought up and that him and the clone Lyta got together. He's like, we became intimate, or whatever, whatever
right.
he said, right?
And even then, like, the cloneness of, or they were together because the clone her was, like, missing sex.
Still. Yeah, exactly. And I was happy to step up. You know?
I was free, and, yeah.
So, interesting character, you know? Okay, I want one thing about Jaina, though. So, her brother was an illusion the whole time.
Yeah, that goes in the lame column.
They did not think that through.
Right? This is where I'm at with, like, and same with Darren Vex. They're just like, really? Right.
So, say that. I think, yeah, is that, yeah, we already talked about pretty much all the other characters because it's really just your core group of characters.
Yeah.
And then Val-El was great because he's basically just a badass kind of Jor-El now at this point. Because we always,
right.
when we saw Superman the movie, right, it was like, man, I would like to see the story between the Staren Stamp Zod and this. Marlon Brando, Jor-El, they have their stuff there, right?
Yep.
And now we're basically getting that with Val-El being the Jor-El and of this story serving that function, and then Zod being Zod, right? And
yeah.
you're getting
and
that
you get
interplay.
The Jack Sora thing on top of it. And like you were saying, the way that she was always just like, I never wanted you to make these decisions. I always right. wanted you to stay pure. Like, I loved all that. Yeah. That was two old friends that had been through hell together mm-hmm. and seen the society change so many times and against their favor, you know?
Yeah, and, but I still always thought that Jack Sir was going to be Nissa's mom just because of their hair. It's a great thing to look at a show and be like, you know what? I like all these characters.
Yes.
You don't get to do that all the time, especially in genre TV show. You know, talk about the CW-verse. There's more than one character on pretty much every show where I'm like, ugh.
Yep.
And I don't have that with this show.
Depending on whoever Dr. Wells is playing that year.
Yeah. Very good. So that's the Lobo of it all, Matt. the lame, right? Why don't you take
we touched on it a little bit. Yeah. But why don't you go in? I was talking about Rush story points and the Darren Vex and all that. Were there other rough things for you? I have timeline questions that were bothering me all season. But
well, let's talk about that.
Right.
So they never explain Adam. They never explain how Zod got to the past. Right.
Right.
I mean, at this point, I guess it doesn't matter because they're there. But I expected some kind of flashback, not episode, but sequence.
Sure. A little something.
Showing how Zod went to the past and things like that. Because, I mean, I think if your whole story is going to revolve around that, we should probably get something.
Sure.
Let's talk about the predestination of it all, right? The Superman cape,
yes.
It's not even around. We saw
not
it turn
around.
Into a Zod cape. So I'm like, okay, this is not Back to the Future rules. This is, or is it Back to the Future rules? They play with the rules of time travel here. Because this whole season, I'm thinking, okay, Zod has not been born yet.
That's my whole thing.
So yeah, take us away with that. Yeah.
The whole time, like, she has not made General Zod yet, but he doesn't seem too upset that he isn't, you know, real, or that he hasn't been born yet. And he's not Marty McFlying out of there, too. So I was like, well, what are we doing? Like, obviously she's going to come back. Like, I know that we've got tons of clones just lying around on Krypton. You know, like, maybe
so
that's going to be
it. So did you call the clone thing?
I thought it would be a clone thing, yeah. But I thought he would clone her, and then like the clone of her would be his mother.
Right.
I never saw the Black Mercy coming, but like that was a nice little fan squee moment for me too. And I thought the way that they portrayed it, you know, like on Supergirl, it was a little bit lamer in live action.
Isn't that weird that like 2 years ago in Supergirl, that's
the
same thing.
Yeah.
For the man who was everything.
But there, it was very much modeled after the comic book. I liked here where it was almost more, I don't know if you've watched any of Swamp Thing, but it felt like that type of deal where it was just like this gross, viney mess that was just all around her and up in her guts and in her mouth and stuff. You know, like I thought it was the horror of it, I thought was really, really well sold here. But yeah, that whole time I was just like, so we're going to talk about the fact you're not a baby yet? Or, like, are you in the incubation chamber somewhere or whatever?
I thought that, you know, there was a moment when he said to Sek, he's like, I don't need anything else from you. So which I was thinking, oh, well, you've already, you know, impregnated. You've already impregnated my mom, so I'm going to be born. I really thought that's, because if you follow the timeline, right, Brainiac came and would have bottled Krypton and left.
Right.
So Sek and...
Right.
Lighter. Say it like her mom. Lighter. They had sex, but like right before that.
Right.
We saw that.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, well, okay, now we got the John Connor thing, right? Then, you know, this
forgot about that.
Zod, right? So that's because then if Seg was in the bottled city of Kandor, which is what Zod told us, right? Because that's why he grew up without a father, lost in the Battle of Kandor or whatever, then he had to have been conceived then, right?
They had no idea what they were going to do going into season two.
How many months after can we still say that? If it's like 5 months, 6 months,
right.
I think it's 6 months after, she would be showing a baby at this point?
Yeah, and shouldn't we be talking about the fact that you've got a baby coming and not like sending you into danger and like, yeah, you can go to the moon and lead the resistance, or, you know, lead my forces or whatever.
Yeah, because that should have been like, no, you don't understand. If you die, I cease to exist. That was never said. And I'm like, did you guys, I feel like the writer's like, that's too complicated. Let's just not talk about it. And I'm like, I feel like if they felt like they brought it up at all, it would make an even bigger can of worms. But I felt like that's part of the interesting thing about all this. So I don't know, like that's a missed opportunity for storytelling because the whole first season was about, oh, we have to save Superman. Superman's going to cease to exist. And when we went back to the fortress, I didn't even see a Zod cape there, I don't think.
No,
so
they didn't touch on it once.
Completely ignored, which is, you know, our point here. Like, it's just a completely different mindset about the season. Good season.
Totally.
But not the best follow-up to all the things that they had acted like were so important in the first season, I guess.
Which is also probably why we get kind of those rushed, like, where are they now things in the beginning. Because maybe they did sit down, you know, they had all those threads. I forgot they slept together, but that's totally probably what was in their minds of, like, she's going to get pregnant with Drew Zod here at this point. But that's probably, like, maybe they sit in the writer's room and they don't kind of make that season happen. And they go, okay, we have to rush our story along here. You know, we have to change a few things. Again, I like the season that we got, but there were just some, like, oh, I'm sorry, what's the status quo right now? Okay, let's jump in, sure. Sega's where?
With Lyta, they killed her off, and, like, that was a pretty definitive death. Like, we just slit her throat in front of the whole planet. And there's her
and
body.
We banished Jaxor from it for it. You
there,
know?
There was a good two episodes of, like, aftermath and consequences of this.
Right? Yep.
And I'm like, well, I guess she's really dead. Like,
because we're spending a lot of time crying.
Right. Right. Yeah. And so I'm like, wow. And I didn't know how to feel about it because I was like, okay, I don't know if she's really dead. It feels like they wouldn't do this, but it also feels like they would because they just blew away Darren Vex in the first one scene. Which I guess we're never going to find out where Nessa came from, right? I don't know why it's such a secret.
Right.
Like, what her past was, right. And I that was unresolved, right? But clones, right? So they set up clones, Krypton clones. Fine, you set it up at some point. But remember Smallville? Remember season 6 of Smallville where you see Lana blow up in the truck?
Right.
And then in season 7, her and Lex have that exposition where, like, oh, Subject 607 was never alive. And I'm like, what are you talking
dummy
about?
Dummy Lana. It was real nice. Yeah.
So I thought, and being Team Nyssa, like, I'm like, oh, okay. I like Lyta. We're all going to miss her. Right.
Right. But
obviously, she's not Superman's grandma.
Yep.
Right. So, and now we move on. We have the family moment. And then, yeah, when she came back, all those reaction shots of Nyssa were, like, so heartbreaking because she's, like, looking
awesome.
Down. And yeah,
I
so
also
well
like,
done.
Like, how just kind of in touch Nyssa is. She's really not a villain anymore. And she really wasn't too much in the season 1. But, like, I like that she had a moment with Seg of, like, yeah, this sucks. I kind of love you. You know, like, I thought we were going to be the end here. I get that your girl's back, but... You know, that's great, but this sucks for me.
We had a kid.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Yeah.
So it's, and then I'm like, it was interesting in the Black Mercy, in the Black Mercy fantasy when she was marrying Seg that Nyssa was with Devim. Devim? All these names, right?
We have gotten so good at talking Kryptonian names. We were
shit
this
have.
Last year.
When this show first started, I was like, I don't know who, I think even said on this show, like, I defy you to name me the names of these characters, but
right.
Now we know them pretty well. Obviously, they were thinking ahead with the Lyta plot. They didn't kill her off, because with
right.
a show like this, you have 10 episodes and it takes you like a year and a half to do it, which I think
right.
was another problem
and
this season.
Contracting.
It came out like a year and a half after the other one.
Yeah.
And so, like, all the momentum is gone, and, I mean, even I wasn't watching it week to week. Life is busy, but
yeah,
had it come out, I don't know, like 8 months after the first one or something, I'd be like, okay, Krypton, yeah, we're back.
Let's
but
go.
Instead, it's like, that was like, man, I've lived so much life in between these seasons. I don't even know who's who, what's going on, you know? So I understand these things take time and schedule, and it's a very expensive, very well put together show, very slick.
The design and the graphics of it are just gorgeous.
Better than we deserve, but I do think some of the momentum was lost between the seasons, and then we're like, and like you said, like, where are they now? Who's what now? Like,
where?
I don't even know.
Where's your
but, eye? So, all that to say, it's not like they, like, killed off Lyta halfway through a season and said, oh, we shouldn't have done that. Let's find a way to get her out. No,
right.
they clearly planned all that out. Because Zod strangling her, that happened. We didn't realize that it happened at the time.
Right.
Or what was really going on, because Seg
right.
saw that in the Phantom Zone. Right? But that's really what happened. And even, honestly, even the way they chose to reveal these things was very confusing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
People are telling stories about Flash. Like, wait. Like, how long was she in the Black Mercy? Because when she's talking about how she got out, I was like, we saw you get out, and that's not what happened. That was a little confusing to me.
I agree on that.
Pick up on that?
Yeah. No. Because she, I forget if she's talking about to Devim or Seg or Gina there. Yeah. But I remember that moment too of like, oh, I don't know that we quite saw that scene. I mean, I'm watching these pretty quickly, so maybe I forgot a thing. But
so, do you feel like the season would have been stronger had they really killed Lyta there. Because honestly, I feel like, obviously, that's not the story they're telling.
Yeah.
Fine. But I feel like you spent, as you said, a lot of people were crying about that. We spent a lot of time on that.
Right.
And it's like, no, no, she's not dead. Kidding. I'm like, so that to me, that undercut a lot of the stakes I was talking about that I thought the show had.
Yeah, that's fair. I knew that the actress was going to have to come back eventually because, like, Drew has to be born, you know? So even when she died, and I thought that was kind of cool how that happened, I knew that we'd see her again. So I don't think that was so much in my mind as just how, and then the fact that it was so tied to continuity and comics in general that she came back to the Mercy. Just
and then he found that it made me happy. And he found the Black Mercy in Val-El's fortress, which is where Superman keeps it.
We saw it in season one as just an Easter egg, but I loved that grab.
Yeah, so it was well, like, if you were gonna do it, they did it the best possible way. I'll say that. But I did feel cheated. because again, I'm like, oh, well, now logically, Segel has to get with Nyssa, and that's like the family unit with Jor-El to move to the future. So that has to be, you know, endgame, as the kids say about these relationships, right?
I'm 100% their endgame, totally.
Had the show gone five seasons, it eventually gone that way. Because it's like, eventually, him and Lyta have to cut this out. You know, like, eventually they have to break up. Yeah. It's kind of like Clark and Lana on Smallville. Like, well, eventually this has to end. So
we all love Kristen Kruick, but she's got to go.
Any other kind of shortcomings then?
No, not really. But now we get to the sad part, which is the what ifs. And I just, there's so much what ifs, you know, like of what could be going forward. I mean, like, just seeing that Omega symbol made me so happy and then instantly sad last night watching this thing.
But the cliffhanger, sir, you have, as you said, they pulled the Smallville season 9 off. They're not Kandorian. Like,
I know.
When she went to Ran, as a comic book nerd, right? I know about the Ran-Thanagar war.
Right? Yes. Oh, and that's so when right.
And when she finds this dying guy and he points up to the sky, I'm like, oh, well, Thanagar, the Hawk people. That's awesome.
Right.
But then I think they were pulling a Smallville season 9. They kept it vague enough where it's like, what could it be? Like, we saw things with wings far away.
Right.
But also saw an Omega symbol.
Yes.
are these parademons or are they Hawk people?
When we saw the shadows go over her, because we see like CGI shadows of these things with wings go over her. And I forget if we had seen the Omega symbol, but just seeing him charred up like that, I instantly went like, oh, parademons, you know. We're going off of very pixelated, very tiny things, but they were not flying manic, and they were very bird-type wings. So I have to imagine that they were Thanagarian.
Right. No, I agree.
Which, like, we could have gotten Thanagar, man.
Yeah, man, like Starcross from Justice League, like, there's so much story and all these, there's so many possibilities. But speaking of that, like the Adam Strange episode, right, from the first season, he goes there, nobody there.
Maybe it's the best episode, we keep talking about it.
I guess so, but that's what I thought of when she's walking around Rand, no one is there. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is with this planet? Like, I just show
Where
us someone.
Yeah.
show us something, someone. So that's a huge... That's a huge cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Right? We have Lobo and Segel are going to team up. We talked about it off the beginning, but like they're going to team up and go find Jor-El.
Yeah.
Huge cliffhanger. Brainiac has Jor-El. He's calling him his son, and they go to Earth.
Before they get to, I believe, 1800s Earth at that point, right?
Oh, you know, I didn't even think about the time period because I believe it was Cameron Welsh, who's creator, executive producer, writer, director on the show. He does a lot.
Sure.
Don't quote me on that. This is not always Hole in the Krypton. Okay, this is always Hole in the Smallville. I don't have my reference materials out. He tweeted out the first two pages of the script for the first episode of season 3.
Oh.
And it was going to be Jor-El as like a teenager on Earth, like causing trouble.
Okay, because I have the word Kawachi written down in my notes here.
Brainiac is his dad. You're right. Maybe he was Nemod. So I don't know the time period. I think it was going to be modern day. I don't know.
Okay, but we were told that this is 200 years before.
Well,
but now I'm like, where were we told this?
Yeah, and does it take thousands of years in space time to get from Krypton to Earth? We don't know, right? Many thousands of your years have passed,
right.
So I don't know, right? So this was an idea they had. Who knows? Seriously, I know like we were hot off of it and just ended, but like this is probably my most disappointed canceled show of all time now. I'm not even kidding. Because Firefly, we got a movie. Right. It wasn't exactly a cliffhanger at the end of Firefly.
Right.
You know?
Right. They were going to keep on going in space. It was going to be fine.
Yeah, and you know what? In the last episode of Firefly, it was kind of a nice, like, oh, okay, yeah. They're going to pilot the ship. And that,
the crew is such a crew now. Everybody loves each other. Bye. Sure. We've got, like, 18 versions of closure from the X-Files. Closure.
Right. Yes, closure. This is, like, clearly they thought they were going to get a third season.
Yeah.
Because they, this is what I'm thinking, they were like, you know, like, oh, man, people love the first season. I guess we're good for the third one. Let's go. You know, you can't take that for granted. You always have to write your finales with, like, oh, this could be the series finale.
Right.
Could be the season finale. We can go either way. I think that's a smarter way to do it, especially in a show like this. I mean, I admire the fact they went all out for this.
Yeah, but, me too. I mean, and now we have so many fan theories to talk about to the end of time, but...
Yes, yes.
Yeah, no, so just really quickly, the idea of, for whatever reason, 200 years before Superman was in my head, so I'm thinking 1800s Earth, which made me go like, oh, like, are we going to do like kind of Cowboys and Aliens with this? You know, like, does the Skull Ship come down over, you know, Back to the Future 3 Hill Valley, and that's what we're doing? Which is also why I've got like Kawachi Caves, maybe, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I was really excited for just the prospect of that, whether or not it sounds like it did. I haven't read those script pages, but whether or not Brainiac and Jor-El ever actually hit planet side or they were stopped by Lobo and Seg, you know?
Yeah, it's a non, like, why bring Earth into it? You know, like, it's a big universe and we liked exploring it. So I don't think they needed to go there, but maybe they thought, look, guys, I mean, maybe that was their attempt to show the Sci-Fi Channel, look, we can shoot on Earth. It's going to be cheaper that's why.
I did think it made sense that that was where Zod's Black Mercy dream went, because that was presumably the site of his greatest defeat, you know?
Well, yeah, and you know, I gotta admit, like, when that, what do I hate, Matt? I hate these small episodes when they start with, like, 24 hours earlier, right. 6 hours earlier, 2 days earlier. I'm like, why? Wow, that is lazy writing. I thought that was lazy writing. I really did, you know. And this starts like, I'm like, really, you're gonna do us that way, Krypton?
Yeah,
do us that way. And you're, I was like, ah. But then when it came back around, and I'm thinking to myself, well, they just beat Zod.
He's not getting to space.
How do we get there? I'm like, oh, it's the Black Mercy. They thought that through. Everything tied together. That's why I forgive a lot of other things like Lyta and the clone and all this, because everything connected. So good. That's a good way to defeat him. Like Sex said, he even got out of the Phantom Zone.
You know, right, so, yeah, exactly.
But he's our son. Are we going to kill him? We can't do that.
Give him everything he wants.
But he's still there, so he's set up to, like, wake up next season.
Totally.
And that kind of
thing. His scientist lady, or I forget if she died, or, like, you know, some follower of his is going to tear that thing off him. And then,
you've opened the portal for Zod!
Yeah.
James Marsters is going to come let Zod out.
Missile's going to break a mirror or something, you know, it'd be fine.
Yeah, there was, and they find Doomsday in the ice, and I'm like we already talked about that, about what they could have done. It would have been the same.
Right.
So I'm kind of, when they said, oh, we have heat signatures, I thought, oh, they're going to go find Jack Sir or some people, because we didn't see her.
That's a
dangling plot thread. That's so much missed opportunity, because this is it for this universe.
Right.
It's not like, we'll just go read a comic book. It's not like that.
You know, no,
it's like
it's not like DC Universe is going to pick this up either.
Yeah, oh, there's no budget for that. No. They can't even afford Swamp Thing.
Yeah, they can't put people in a swamp in Georgia, you know? They're not going to do this.
So it's, it's like, man, I have a very easy answer. I'm like, okay, if there's one canceled show, you like another season. I'm like, yeah, it'd be Krypton.
Krypton, yeah.
Even if it was terrible, I'm like, well, at least we found out what they did.
Right.
That's the thing, though. You always think, man, I wish they would end that show before it got bad. Or right, but you're like, no, you don't.
No.
You're glad there's so many seasons.
This is somewhat of an uneven package, but what we got out of it, I still loved. Like, I am a huge fan of this show, and I'm kind of right there with you.
Well, because it became more than we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Like, we thought, like, Krypton, are you kidding? What's this, Gotham 2.0 over here?
But they made out of it, you know? Meanwhile, I don't know if you... I was at Comic-Con this year, and they had the tiniest... They had the tiniest of Metropolis signs over the WB/DC booth this year, and I was just like, "Oh, are we still doing that?"
Oh, that show that they talked about that didn't come to be. Yeah,
yeah.
They've got Lois a sign and Lex in Metropolis before Superman.
It must be real. Yeah.
I mean, they can prove me wrong, because I talk mess about Krypton and we ended up loving it.
Right.
But that show is way too much like a Gotham.
Yes.
You know, like, the adventures of Lex and Lois before Superman. Who cares?
Who cares?
Like, that's cool for, like, an episode.
Right.
Season 2, episode 20, flashback to before Superman showed up when Lex was dating Lois and they broke up and she took down LexCorp project. And
yeah, is that all she's doing? Because he's not doing anything, like, fun and nefarious till Superman shows up.
Yeah, I mean, he really can't do any crazy stuff because, one, he'll get away with it.
Right, exactly. Who's going to stop him?
It doesn't need to be that crazy because he's just dealing with the police and people he can intimidate and pay off. So, I mean, I think people can see the difference because the Krypton, it opens up the world of the DC universe.
Yeah.
Like we were talking Lobo.
Yeah.
Thanagarians, right? Brainiac. And eventually, Skull Ships.
Sorry. And eventually we would have gotten that satisfaction of, like, I'm sure the cape would have come back. We would have set everything right. And it would have been, you know, set everything right. We would have blown up the planet eventually. But that was the
cool conflict of season one, where Adam's like, "Look, I know
love
it sounds
that
bad,
scene.
But you guys need to blow up."
Yep.
I would have sided with Zod too. Like that was interesting in season one about that, and that's not even on the table. Like I guess they figured it's. I guess Adam was saying he. Well, that's like revealed here. It's not supposed to be used for time travel, but he altered it to do so, and so that's why things are getting messed up because he just, you know,
right.
So I guess he figured things were so far messed up that we're not even. We need to worry about this first, and then we came back to that cape.
And
maybe
then
that's
we'll
what
get Superman
thinking.
On track. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, and yes, Matt, we won't get to see the new adventures of Adam Strange in his costume, which he was given by Val-El. So I don't. I think I've seen him in a couple of comic books. Was he even in the DC animated universe? I don't know.
I saw him in a Brave and the Bold episode, and I think that was it.
That's the extent of my knowledge.
All I know of, I just watched it with my nephew. That's all I know of Adam Strange. Besides, like, he likes to curse, and he's such a badass.
Well, I like the scene in the finale when he's talking about Detroit and his mom and his dad. I'm like, oh, okay. So that's, you know, I even came to like him. He was my least favorite character in the first season, but he's fine, you know. And but I thought ultimately they were going to solve all this through time travel. You know, like as you were saying, Superman, Brandon Routh would have shown up. I don't know, right?
Oh,
someone who was willing to put on a Superman costume would have shown up, and they would have wrapped this thing up. Oh, there's my cape. Thanks for keeping it for me. And he goes off to the future.
I had always hoped that at some point Seg would be able to see not just Kal-El, but see Superman and realize what all of it was worth, you know, because like he's gonna fail ultimately. The planet's gonna blow the hell up.
And that's something I really like about Birthright, the Mark Waid reboot of the early 2000s.
It I've seen the art for it. I've never read it.
It's good. It's not. See, there's so many Superman origin stories, and people are like, why do we have this now? We had Man of Steel. We have Secret Origin. But at the end of that, Jor-El and Lara see Superman as an adult, and vice versa. So it's a very cathartic, emotional moment, you know,
beautiful
between them. I was thinking we'd see that kind of close the loop on this whole Superman thing, and that's why I thought they might leave Light to dead because they're gonna do time travel eventually. Maybe they'll fix it that way. I was thinking time travel more than clones. So I don't know. There were lots of sci-fi possibilities here in this universe, and we're not getting it in movies. We're not getting it on television of these epics. Cosmic scales.
No.
And this was the place to get that fixed, and that's ultimately why it's so disappointing. Obviously, yes, the cliffhangers and the plot threads and whatnot that they left and didn't wrap up, but just knowing that that's it, you know, for these characters and these versions and these stories they set up, I guess I can assume they go get Jor-El back and everything's fine.
Like, change at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there going to be like a graphic novel to tie this up? I mean, all jokes aside, that would be great. I'd read the hell out of it at this point
just because I'm really hooked on this version of this world. But yeah,
absolutely.
And these characters. So. Yeah. And I'm also like, Dev M and Jaina get together. Yeah.
That's what Matt wants to see. Oh boy. Well, you know, sci-fi, thank you for getting us Krypton, but no thank you for taking it away.
If you'd like to bring back this universe with a booster gold or something at some point, by all means, we'll jump back on board with you. But
if only we had some universe, multiverse spanning event coming up soon, Matt, where we could revisit this world.
I haven't heard a single thing about this online. I don't know, Zach.
I'm just going to assume that whatever happens on the Crisis on Infinite Earths will solve the problems in Krypton, and everything's going to go back to normal.
Just one quick scene, they blow up the skull ship, and that's the end.
Yeah, Brandon Routh flies through the skull ship.
Yeah, perfect. Great. Yeah, kingdom come, Brandon Routh.
Oh my gosh, so good. But ultimately, wait. Matt, you know, we can walk away saying we got two good seasons of television and a lot of, you know, dare I say, iconic interpretations of totally. Characters in live action. And, you know, a lot of fun along the way. A lot of, you know, intense, mature, interesting storytelling in the Superman universe. And let's throw out there, what a letter grade scale, right? What would you give Krypton?
I think it's a solid B plus.
I'm going to go with an A.
Okay.
There you go. Well, A for me, B plus for you. You know, I am shocked that talking about characters never appeared on Smallville, Mon-El is one I'm like, you know, why didn't, that's like obvious to appear on Smallville, right?
Yep.
And I'm like, to be honest, I'm shocked that they didn't have like Lobo show up at some point, right?
Yeah.
Like you get some tough biker guy.
Yeah, they might have been right? afraid of it, but yeah.
Right? Like, man, too hardcore for Smallville, I guess. Doomsday was on the show.
Yeah.
You can give us Doomsday, but not Lobo, right? Oh, but no, to wrap us up. Matt. So stay tuned, guys, for, I guess, next year on the Patreon when we'll do this, Matt. But if you recall, earlier this year, Matt, we did a Pitch a Small episode.
Yes.
Called POV. And it became nothing what I thought it was going to be. That was part of the fun of it, right? But there's an episode of Krypton called Mercy. One-word episode title. Perfect, right? Mm. And I thought to myself, why did they never do a Black Mercy episode of Smallville? That Ooh. Seems like a slam dunk. Okay. So, my friend, next, you know, in a few months.
Yeah, on the next Patreon, months from now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because currently we're gonna finish off our top 10 list, which right. you're part of that panel, which is a lot of fun. And then we're going to switch out for other topics and other things. And so I think it'd be fun if you and I kind of hash out a Black Mercy episode of Smallville,
Would
obviously
love to.
Called Mercy,
mm-hmm.
right? And we can take it from there. And I think that'd be fun. So stay tuned for that on the Patreon in a few months, guys.
Do we have to slot that in? Because there, like, do we have to slot that into a specific place, like where Mercy is in Smallville?
That's up for us to decide.
Interesting.
So we'll hash
stay
that out.
Stay tuned,
together.
Everybody. Yeah.
What point in the series do we? Who do we want Clark to be married to? In this? It's just such an obvious thing to do.
Mm-hmm. I just like wonder too, like wherever we place it, who's going to be the person that yanks it off him or figures out how to science it out of him? You know?
Well, obviously Green Arrow would be involved.
Well, yeah, Green Arrow to show up. Yeah, maybe the Martian.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you got lots of characters to use.
Fate
on
gets in there and tells him, "Yeah, there's so much to know."
So yeah, so stay tuned for that, guys. And that's a long term tease for our Patreon.
Cool. But, yeah. No, that you haven't told me that yet. That sounds great.
That was live on air, guys. Just revealed that. So, yes, that's raw. So, just like broadcasting Lyta's decapitation on Kryptonian TV, I just revealed that topic to Matt on the podcast.
Speaking of revealing topics, I didn't know you were doing Franchise Fatigue podcast until the previous Superman special that you did. But I've been listening to that, like, crazy, man. I went through all of Toy Story first for some reason, and then jumped back for Halloween, and I'm finishing up the Mission Impossible movies with you right now. But really, anybody who likes listening to your voice and likes fan stuff should totally listen to that.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
For sure.
That's a fun one to do. Just kind of a trivia / you know, when do franchise get worn out, you know, just talking about movies. So yeah.
And when's it bounce back again? You know, it's fun.
Yes, that's part of the journey, right? But yeah, I mean, it's called Franchise Fatigue. You can find us on Twitter at UFB Earth is where you find us, because it's a podcast network called the United Federation of Podcasts. And our show on there is called Franchise Fatigue because we're like fans of franchises. It's kind of like a play on words, kind of like my Twitter moron Zach. You know, I always have to over explain it to people, but it's a fun explanation. But yeah, no, I appreciate that, man. It's fun to just, it gives me an excuse to watch movies that I love but haven't seen in a while.
Right.
Or watch movies I just haven't seen for whatever reason.
You reminded me of a lot of things I've forgotten in Mission Impossible movies. So
yeah, those are great movies. That is
a
great
franchise.
Some of them
are great movies, yes.
Yeah, so most of them are great
yes,
movies.
Yes, most of them are great movies.
It's just a great, fun blockbuster franchise. And from it started in 1996.
I know. That's the crazy part. See, I don't
this
like
the
first
thing is like
25 years old. Once JJ gets involved, I'm on board.
So Matt, if people want to find you out there on the internet, where can they find you, man?
Lois and Clark and the podcast of Superman. We've been down for a while, but those are out there. I am at Daily Knockoff on Twitter as an artist, and then just I think at Matt Truex is real, or the real Matt Truex or something. I don't even remember what I am on Twitter or on Instagram, but check me out, because every once in a while I'll post some geeky thing that I'm doing that's art and Superman related, so definitely check us out.
As for me, as I said, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach, that's MoronZach. Also the host of another podcast, Franchise Fatigue, as Matt so generously plugged for me earlier. We're on the UFP Earth on Twitter, on the United Federation of Podcasts. We talk about franchises, sequels, remakes, all that good stuff when they get worn out. And also, I'm a host of Standard Orbit, Trek FM's original series podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. As for the podcast, here, you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Alone to Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Once again, with one S. Well, that was a fun time talking about Krypton Season 2 with you, Matt. And guess what? Guess what's next on Always Alone to Smallville? Season 5.
Back to the Fortress.
We're back. So that'll be out, I think, as of this recording, in a couple weeks. We're going to go pretty much weekly after that with a couple of gaps, you know, things of that nature. But we're going to go straight on through Season 5 pretty much the same way we went straight on through Season 4. And keep that up so I'm not doing this podcast until I'm 45 years old. So.
Nice. Well, yeah, hope to join you for an episode or two. But in the meantime, love and doing the countdown stuff on Patreon too.
Yes, yes. So yeah, stay tuned to our Patreon, guys. Yes. Hopefully you guys have seen our social media post about that. You can join us. And over there, we do commentaries on one level. We do a top 10 episodes of Smallville. Matt's part of our panel over there. We're going down those. And as of this recording, our next episode is going to be the number 4 episode of Smallville. It's voted by you, the fan, Memoria. One of the best.
The best, yeah.
All right, guys. Well, can't wait to see Spike as Brainiac on the next episode of Smallville.
That's going to be a letdown.
It's a different interpretation. Right?
Professor Spike, yep.
Professor Spike 1000. I think it'll be so many ways, but
you have
anyway,
fun.
Until then, always hold on to Smallville. And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask of an old lone ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that. Well, out of South Alabama come a country boy. Said I'm looking for a man named Jim. I am a bull shooting boy. My name is Willie McCoy. But down at home they call me Slim. Yeah, I'm looking for the king of 42nd Street. He drive on a drop top Cadillac. Last week he took all my money, and it may sound funny, but